Praise God. God is a good God. Amen. Amen. It's good to be here with you guys. I've been traveling quite extensively for some of you that probably do know. Actually, Dad's ministering tonight in Jackson, Mississippi at one of our Raymond churches, and that's where he's at tonight. I'm actually been here most weeks. I'm just gone most weekends, and I'm here this weekend, gone the next two. But anyway, God's doing great things. I'm going to want to give you a testimony if you have been following me on social media, and you know I've been doing we did a big outdoor crusade in Dominican Republic, and I'm going to kind of back up and kind of give you some context. One of my good friends, Pastor Jack Myers, he's a Raymond graduate, and I go preach for him every year in January. He pastors in Plant City, Florida. If you don't know where Plant City, Florida is, many of you probably don't have a clue. It's a city that has a bunch of plants. No, I'm just kidding. Maybe they do. I don't know. It's in the Tampa, Florida area, and so he pastors there. And so for over 20 years, he's been going to the Dominican Republic and having big outdoor crusades. He's been teamed up with his best friend, Reverend Todd DeLay. He pastors in Seminole, Texas. In fact, Todd is one of our ministers coming up to Call to Arms Men's Conference. And wonderful minister, wonderful man of God. He'll be here. And so them two, I think he's been doing it for like 15 years now. And so last few years, Pastor Jack's tried to get me to go to the Dominican Republic. But their crusade has always been really close to camp meeting, either the week before, week after. And, you know, I don't know if you're like you, but I'm kind of tired after camp meeting. And I don't really have time to go the week before, all right? So this last year, or this year, he says, okay, I made we're going to go in June, so you have no excuse. So you're going to go. So I went. All right, so we went to the city of San Cristobal. So here's the thing. I've been to the Dominican Republic twice. I actually saw the water this time. Last time I never saw the water until the day we left because it was nighttime when we got there. You know, most people go to the Dominican Republic, go have a good time on the beach. I didn't do that. I just had a good time preaching the gospel. But anyway, we went to the city of San Cristobal, and we went to their city, probably the square of the city, kind of the center of the city, and had a big outdoor crusade. We did have a little bit of weather, but we had 10 to 12,000 people show up. The pastor of the church, I mean, we brought with us like 26 people. And so during the daytime, they would go to orphanages, nursing homes, schools, anyone who let them, you know. And we had over 4,000 people during that crusade. I'm not sure exactly the number. Give their hearts to the Lord during that crusade back in June. So it was awesome. And we saw many miracles, many healings. I don't really know exactly how many. But because we had such a large team, there wasn't a hotel we could find where we could stay in all the hotels. Because not only that, we had a team from about 10 people from the Dominican Republic, and they weren't living in that city, so they had to stay with us at the hotel. And so we found a hotel about 30 minutes away in a city called Beni. And so while we were there in Beni, normally Pastor Jack does about one meeting a year in the Dominican Republic. So we were there on the last day. He called me and Pastor Todd and says, hey, I'm praying about this. And so that the Lord's really laid on my heart that we should come back to the city of Beni and do a meeting. He goes, what about October? And we're like, oh, okay. So here's the deal. So we went, looked at places, and we went to a really nice baseball stadium. We went to a baseball stadium, okay? When I said really nice, it's really nice for the Dominican Republic, you know, things, you know, but it wasn't. And I say a stadium, you know, more baseball field. And it was nice, but then we went to the ghetto, the worst part of Beni. And we stood on which you might call them baseball fields. They call it a playground, but there's nothing to play on. But there were two baseball fields that probably some major leaguers played when they were little kids. And let's just put it this way. You look at the Raymond Fields. Raymond Fields look like, you know, Yankee Stadium compared to these baseball fields. All right, it was a bunch of dirt and you know whatever. And talk about poverty, it was bad. Let's just put it that way. So we got there and we're like, yeah, this is where we're going to have it. So that's where we went. So we had between 15 and 20,000 people showed up for the 3-day crusade. And also, we brought a small team, about 10 other folks came with us, and they did some afternoon ministry, and I'll talk about what we did in the afternoon. We actually did go to prison one afternoon, but between what we did at the crusade and what they did, we had, and I got the number this time, 6,851 salvations, and we have paperwork for it, all right? I mean, it wasn't just like, you know, the Lord told us that many people. We actually had them sign stuff, have paperwork to be able to, because see, it's one thing to get someone saved, another thing for a pastor to follow up with these people and things like that. So, I mean, so think of it, between two crusades in a 4-month period, over 10,000 people came to Jesus. 10,000 people came to Jesus, you know, in two different crusades. It's such, I mean, that's just so awesome. You know, and just to, you know, the deal is, I mean, you guys don't know, unless you've been on a mission field, no poverty like was at this place. Now, this is a pretty cool thing. So like I said, we had a bunch of Dominicans. And we put up a really nice stage with an LED, screen behind us and big speakers, you know. And this is the middle of poverty, okay? So these guys are trying to figure out, you know, there's two gentlemen there following our team around when they're putting up all this stuff. And they're trying to figure out what's going on. And finally, the team, said, well, we're going to have a big outdoor crusade here. And you know what they said? They said, okay, then we won't operate our drug business while you guys are doing your crusade. They were drug dealers. But even drug dealers, I guess, respect Jesus. I mean, so they actually agreed, even though we didn't ask them, that they wouldn't be selling drugs during our crusade. So praise God, at least we stopped the drug trade for a few days. Now, they didn't say they would stop forever, you know, so... You know, maybe they got saved in the crusade. I don't know. But you know, it's just so awesome to see. And like I said, on this crusade, we had between 15 and 20,000. It was kind of hard to think. It was a big field, and you could see a bunch of people. All right? And the last night, you know, tons of people, you know, thousands of people, you know, healed. I know we had 68 people that came up and gave testimonies during the week, and most of them were fairly miraculous. Like, you know, I came here on crutches or on a cane, and I don't need them anymore, and I'm walking across the stage. You know, one lady had all kinds of debilitating back issues, and I prayed, you know, I just prayed for backs. For 15 years, she suffered with back pain, no back pain whatsoever. I mean, just all kinds of stuff. You know, just like that. I mean, you know, God's just so awesome. Just to see these people's lives changed, you know. But I do also want to let you know, because we were in an outdoor area and there was no public restrooms or anything else, that there was a house, if you want to call it a house. Basically, it was a bunch of tin put together and whatever, and there were sheets for the bedrooms, but they allowed us to use their restroom, their bathroom, if you want to call it a bathroom, you know. And so, you know, I walked in the house the first time, and the bathroom really wasn't that nice. I'm glad I'm a guy, not a girl, let's put it that way, because the potty wasn't really the most cleanest thing in the world. If you know, I don't want to sit on the thing, but anyway, that's a whole other thing. But, and I'm like, actually, I didn't realize it was a house. I'm like, you know, I just... They said, "Hey, if you need to go to the restroom, there's a restroom right here. We can, you know." But after the crusade last night, we actually told them that we would go pray for that family. And I saw a mom and I think 4 kids in there. I didn't see any dad or whatever. And we prayed for family. And one of the kids, about 10-year-old, 11-year-old boy, he's a baseball player, and so. You know what? I'm just praying that he's going to make the major league so they can actually move to a nice place. You know, that's because, I mean, it was extreme poverty. I mean, you know, and sometimes we gripe about how bad we have it sometimes. You don't have it anywhere as bad as these people, you know, have it. You know, but some people have it worse. They actually had running water. And they had electricity because we had lights. So, I mean, you know, so that's better than some places. You know, but I mean, you know, it's just so awesome to be able to bring Jesus to people whose life are hurting, you know, but it's also, interesting, you know, like I said, we had many miracles take place, many healings take place, but it's interesting, you know, that these people just believed. I don't know why people in America, you know, and other, you know, more, you know, non-third world countries have trouble just believing the word. You know, the message that I preach to them, first of all, you know, that Jesus changes everything. But Mark 9:23, I said, you know, the Bible says, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. And I told them, I said, I don't care what you came here with. You can leave here healed in the name of Jesus if you believe. The question is, do you believe? And you know what? They did. And we saw miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle because they believed. And then I want to, you know, I mean, we're talking about people that life was in poverty. And the thing about it is because they think that we might be a little educated and we know the Bible and we tell them a scripture and they believe it. So why can't we believe it? Why don't we believe the scripture? And I'm like, well, yeah, we do believe, but do we really believe? I mean, we don't really see, you know, that kind of manifestation. I mean, you know, but the deal is we need to understand that we have the message of Jesus Christ and we have a lost and dying and hurting world out there that needs to hear that message. Now, we know all know the story, Acts chapter 3, with Peter and John, or Pedro and Juan, you know. All right, you know, that is a great thing. It is pretty awesome to actually not speak with an interpreter because, you know, and the only thing, the bad thing, I use humor in my service. It's hard to use humor when I'm being interpreted and I have no clue, you know, what, you know, they can't really relate. Anyway, but Acts 3:6-8 says, and Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus, of Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand, lifting him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. You know, the thing I want to point out is that, you know, Peter didn't give him what he didn't have. What he did give him what he did have. He didn't have any money, but what he had was better than money. He had the name of Jesus, the name above every name. The thing about it is we all have the name of Jesus as well. We have that same name. We know that Jesus heals. We know that Jesus sets people free. We know that Jesus. But are we going out and giving our Jesus to the world? Now, in this case, we had a miraculous healing, you know, but some people don't need a miraculous healing. They just need somebody to love them. They just need to know that they're worthy. I mean, one of the first things I told them is that, you know, because I had to look it up to see how far it was from the city of Benin to the city of Tulsa. It was 1,997 miles from my house to the city of Benin. So I said, I came here 2,000 miles to tell you that Jesus loves you. You know, and some people just need to know that somebody loves them. Some people just need, you know, to know that there is something out there. There's so many people that are hurting in this world. I mean, these people had nothing, literally nothing, you know. And you know, people in the Dominican Republic don't have a lot anyway. And actually, I'm going to stop right here because I forgot to tell you the other thing that we did, okay? I'll get back to this message in a second because I think this is important. So we not only had the opportunity to talk to the people who were going through all kinds of poverty situations, we had the opportunity to talk to some politicians that have, you know, that, so the first day we drove to the capital city of Santo Domingo, which is the largest city, in, you know, it's capital city of the Dominican Republic. And we met with the mayor of Santo Domingo. So that would be like meeting the mayor of New York City. All right. And he had a really nice office. I mean, really, really nice office. Very well. You know what? And he was excited that we were there to be a blessing to the people of the Dominican Republic, obviously. And we're looking about doing a meeting, a outdoor crusade in 2027 there in the city of Santo Domingo. This guy is on track to be, if he's not the next president of the Dominican Republic, he's on track to maybe be a president at some point in time. You know, very influential, and he was so open to the gospel and so excited that we were there. And we were able to give, I gave him a copy of the Believer's Authority in Spanish and a copy of my book, El Poder de Dios, Power of God, in Spanish as well. And so it's just an awesome to be able to talk to somebody who's pretty important. And they're just excited that we were there to minister to their people. And then when we got the next day, we went and met with two politicians. We were in the province of Peruvia. Province is like a state. I think there's 36 or 37 states. And we were in the province of Peruvia. And we met with the governor of Peruvia, a lady who actually was a teacher. And she was excited that we were in her city. You know, and she was like, couldn't believe that where we were. She goes, she couldn't believe that we went to the ghetto. You know, the worst part of Benin. And she asked us if we knew it was the worst part of Benin. He said, yeah, that's why we're there. And so she was so excited that we were there. And something else, well, we were there too. And I was able to do this one day. We actually passed out. We passed out a big bag of rice and a salami about this big. And they said that will probably feed their family for 3 months. You know, and something else we did, we went to on Saturday, we went to a prison, which that's interesting, going to a prison in the Dominican Republic. One thing that I was kind of concerned about, I don't know if you've ever done prison ministry or been to a prison in the United States. I mean, some of you have to go through 20 doors and you know, you have to go through all kinds of metal detectors and they're looking at you, you know, whatever. They didn't even want us. We didn't go through any metal detector and we could have brought anything we wanted to in. They didn't care. I mean, you know, so that's hopefully that those people got. They go through more scrutiny than we do. They put us in an area, it was about like a basketball court area thing that they had with about 250 inmates and not one guard in sight. So, it was kind of interesting. And a couple of people that weren't real interested in what we were doing kept walking by and kind of looking at us kind of not really nicely. And so, anyway, but God protected us. It was no big deal. But it was awesome to be able to preach the gospel in that prison, you know, and these people, you know, were hurting. But so we met with the governor there in Peruvia, and she was excited we were there. And actually, it was really cool. I gave her the Believer's Authority, and she held it up. Great picture, you know, to be able, you know, to hold it up. So then after we met with the governor, we went and met with the senator of the state of Peruvia. And it turns out that he's like the lead senator, like the head, the main senator, you know, in their Senate. And he has a lot of influence. And when I gave him my book, The Power of God, he put it over his heart. Like, so it was just really cool. But it was pretty awesome. To all these politicians were so open to us preaching the gospel. They were so excited that we were there to be a blessing to their people. You know, and so it's, you know, it's pretty awesome to have, you know, just a warm welcome to this thing. Oh, and also too, I did not mention going back to Santo Domingo, the mayor, he's also a minister. He's a pastor. And so it's just awesome, you know, I mean, you know, it's what's going on in their country. So back to Pedro and Juan, all right. You know, they just gave this man what they had, and they had Jesus. We have that same Jesus. We know Jesus. We know what Jesus said. We know the power that he possessed. You know, we might not have all the money and all the answers that people need, but what we do have, we have something more powerful. We have the name of Jesus. See, when Peter said, he says, in the name of Jesus, rise and walk. He didn't say, in my name. He said the name of Jesus, and we have that same name. The world doesn't need more religion or more opinions. They need more Jesus. They need us to take Jesus to a lost and dying and hurting world. So you know what? We have Jesus. We carry Jesus. But sometimes, are we willing to give Jesus to our world? Your world doesn't have to be the world. Your world can be where you work, where you eat, where you hang out. I mean, you know, obviously, if you happen to live in an apartment complex that's not student housing, I guarantee you there's a lot of opportunity to minister Jesus to a lot of people. And I don't mean you got to be really weird and crazy. I just mean just be a good guy or good gal. You know, something else I want to read is 2 Timothy 1, 6 and 7. We all know this. It says, therefore I remind you to stir up the gifts of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. You know, there is a gift inside every believer. A gift inside every believer. And I do believe that everybody should at one point in time go on a missions trip. Because I think it'll help stir you up. You know what? There is a lost and dying and hurting world out there that need Jesus. You know, I think one of the coolest things on mission trips, we always have mission trips every spring break, and we take students, church members, everyone who wants to go. But you see these people, I mean, you know, they're Bible school students. They probably even haven't even prayed for nobody. And they say they pray for somebody and a miracle happens. You know, and it's not because they're the, you know, miracle worker. You know, Jesus is the healer. They're just the one that Jesus uses. In fact, I got this new illustration the other day, and I might have said it. I can't remember. I've preached so many times, but mostly I hadn't been here in Rama here. But I got the illustration. Has anyone ever seen a ventriloquist? You know, I don't mean maybe live, maybe on TV or whatever. So a ventriloquist, and actually when I was a kid, My parents for Christmas one time, I didn't ask for this. I don't know why. They probably got it on sale, so that's why they bought it for me. They bought me a Howdy Doody puppet. All right? So, you know, and so ventriloquists actually, you know, they have a dummy. In my case, it was Howdy Doody. He was my dummy. And then, you know, kind of go like this, and don't move your mouth. And, you know, so you the dummy's doing the talking. And you know what? The focus is on the dummy. But really, the dummy's not doing anything. He's just sitting there. The person who's doing all the work is the ventriloquist. So I just thought about something the other day. I'm just a dummy for Jesus. In all reality, I'm the mouthpiece. I'm the one that people focus on. But Jesus is the one pulling the strings. He's the one that's doing all the work. He's the one that's working on the inside of us. And here's the thing, you can be a dummy too. All right, because so many people say, well, I don't know if I could do this or I could do that. You know, one of the hardest things that we had was actually, and you know, because you realize one of the biggest fears for people is actually standing in front of people and talking. So one of the hardest things we had was getting people to come and give a testimony. I mean, we had people who had outstanding miraculous healings, and they didn't want to give a testimony. In fact, one lady, we got her on stage, and she was talking about how she had her gallbladder removed, and ever since then, she has been in pain. I'm not sure what side your gallbladder's on. So she'd been in pain on, I think it's the right side. She'd been in pain there ever since and she's had all kinds of complications. And this has been like 8 years or something like that. And in an instant, that night, all the pain left. And so she, you know, came and wanted to testify. She didn't want to get up there. She did get up there, and Pastor Jack was there. And so she stood, and he put the microphone to her to talk, and she immediately turned this way. She didn't want to look at the people. Because, you know, there were, you know, 8,000 people plus out there. So, you know, and so a lot of times they say, well, you know what, Lord, I don't want to do that. I'm just a dummy. Well, you're not doing anything. You're just the one showing up. All right? So, you know, and the Bible says, and actually we'll read that in a second. I won't get there yet. So, you know, you can do it. You know, there's a gift inside every believer, the Holy Spirit himself. When you stir up that gift, boldness comes out. Faith rises and miracles will happen. You have a gift on the inside of you. It's there. It might, you know, maybe you haven't stirred it up in a long time. Maybe you need to go on a mission trip in order to stir it up. You know, but we do have a lost and dying and hurting world. But you know what? Fear keeps people silent. But faith keeps people speaking. And you know what? A lot of you know the word. But there's so many people who don't know the word. But you don't have to be on a crusade platform to share Jesus. You can share him at work, at school, in your neighborhood, or maybe at Starbucks. It doesn't matter where you are. You know, the same Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, if I guess is more politically correct, I guess, that moves in the Dominican Republic or Nigeria or any other country you might go to, wants to move right here in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. But it needs somebody willing to give people what they have. And in order to give people what they have, you got to stir up what you have. You know, over in Mark 16, 15, we know what this says. It says, and he said, Jesus talking to his disciples, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, you know, that's not just for missionaries. That's Jesus talking to every believer. He's not just saying, okay, you guys are all going to be missionaries. And so when he says the word go into all the world, you know, for some that might be foreign countries. To some, it might be the world that they live in. You know, for some, it might be to go to the Dominican Republic or wherever you're going. For others, it might be go to your workplace, your neighborhood, your school. The command is the same. Go and preach the gospel. All right? You know, to tell somebody that Jesus saves, that Jesus heals, and Jesus sets people free. You know, like I said, we saw in the Dominican Republic thousands saved and healed. But it's because wherever you go, God shows up. And it's not you doing anything. You're just a dummy for Jesus. You know what? But it's Jesus that changes everything. We don't have to be a preacher on a platform. You just have to be willing to say, Lord, use me wherever I am. We have a motto at this church to bring hope, help, and healing to the world. And that might be the world, but it also might be your world. Are you fulfilling that motto? Are you bringing hope, help, and healing to anybody? You know, we had an opportunity, like I said, in the Dominican Republic to bring hope, help, and healing to people who are really hurting bad, who are going through a lot. And it's pretty awesome because, you know, some of our crusade team, was, you know, they're in the afternoons doing stuff, and there was a buzz around town about a fiesta going on over in the ghetto. I don't know what kind of fiesta it is, but, you know, everyone, you know, here's the thing. You put a bunch of lights and screens, and I will say that they did get, I don't know what they're singing because I really, my Spanish is limited to food Spanish. I've actually done over 500 days on Duolingo trying to learn Spanish, and I found out, you know, that just helps me go to the restroom and order food at the restaurant. If I need to go to the bank, I could go to the bank or go to a hotel, but, you know, I don't really, I know where my hotel is, and I don't need to go to the bank, you know, so. But anyway, they had some individuals, and they were singing Christian music in more fiesta-type style that people like. And more of a dancing type, you know, fun. And that was how they would start off, and they would get a crowd. And it's pretty awesome. And there's one of these guys, man, he, you know, I don't know what he was on, but I mean, he was bouncing around like crazy, you know, doing all kinds of dance, and people were loving it, you know. But even the young kids were talking about, we saw this, when one of our workers heard these young kids talking about, you know, they had a great time at the fiesta. So they called it a fiesta. We're having a good time, you know. It's, you know, we did Thursday, Friday, Saturday night. So Friday and Saturday night, a lot of people out. I mean, you know, just, you know, what else are you going to do? We're in the middle of the ghetto. So come to the fiesta for Jesus. You know, have a good time. But, like I said, the command is the same, go preach the gospel. You know, whenever you do, God shows up. You don't have to be on a platform. Just be willing. Skipping down to Mark 6:20, because time's running out. It says this, after Jesus talked to the disciples, it says, they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. And it says, when we go, he goes with us. He's always with us. When we speak his word, he confirms it with power. That's what happened in the Dominican Republic, and that's what can happen right here in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. You know, but I do also want to say, we should be thankful for what we have. Like I said, it's all extreme poverty, you know, whatever. Paul says, Philippians 4:13, 11 through 13, actually, the New Living Translation says this, Not that I was ever in need, for I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live in almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little, for I can do everything through Christ who gives me the strength. You know, Paul is saying, you know what? It doesn't matter what condition I'm in. You know, someone has it worse than me. You know, forget about all my problems and go out and touch the world. You know, and, you know, he says that that I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. So you people say, well, I can't really talk to people about that. Yes, you can. In fact, you should never be able to say you can't do anything because the Bible says you can. You should be a can-do-it person. My mom's reminded me many times that we can do it. You know, so I've actually quit telling them we can't do it, and I just said, we can do it. It might be expensive, but we can do it. See the globe up here? That was impossible to build. Nobody knew how to build a globe that spun around and lights up or whatever. That was an expensive globe, but we did it because that was a vision that mom and dad had. You know, I told them I don't know that we could do it because we called everybody. I happen to be one of the writers of the stinking school, not stinking, of the school song, because my mom says someone's got to do it, so we did it. All right. But we are blessed here. You know, we have homes, cars, jobs, and freedom. But we are blessed to be a blessing to people who have less. You know, let your gratitude turn into compassion. When you realize what Jesus has done for you, you can't help but share them with others. Especially, I mean, if you have a great testimony, I mean, you should want to share Jesus with everybody. You know, Dominican Republic people, they were thankful just to hear about Jesus, but how much more should we be thankful and willing to share Jesus? I mean, we have the life changer on the inside. Like I said, Jesus changes everything. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same Jesus who saved and healed in the New Testament is still saving and healing today. He's just using a dummy to do it. All right? The same Jesus who saves and heals people in the Dominican Republic is also here tonight. The same Jesus who set people free there can set people free here. We have the same Jesus. There is no reason why we can't have the same results that we have overseas. You know, the other side about it is, when you tell someone to believe, are they confident that you even believe? I mean, you know, because Jesus still saves, and Jesus still heals, and Jesus still delivers, and Jesus changes everything. And I believe that we're selfish for not sharing what we have on the inside. You know, a lot of times Christians are more concerned about their own life, their own family, that God blesses them and, you know, he gives them a supernatural abundant offering or whatever he might do. But there's a lost and a dying and hurting world all over this world. You know, it doesn't have to be in a foreign country. There's people who are hurting right here. You know, maybe they have it a lot better off than the people in the Dominican Republic and other places. You know what? But they're still hurting. They're hurting on the inside. Obviously we realize the economy hadn't been the best in the world. Some people, you know, are probably at the worst place they've ever been, even in a financial situation. They don't know what to do. Think about this. If you didn't even know Jesus, how would you know what to do? And even if you did know Jesus but didn't know the word, how would you know what to do? I mean, the thing about it is, I mean, we have something on the inside that this world needs. So I just want to encourage each and every one. You don't have to go to a foreign land to bring hope, help, and healing to your world. You can do it right here in the city of Broken Arrow or the city of Tulsa or wherever you might live, you know. But, I mean, the deal is that we got to be willing and obedient, and start because sometimes we maybe get out of our comfort zone a little bit. But, you know, I know just for me, just to see some of these things about, Charlie Kirk and how he was able to minister to these people and to see the boldness and to see you know, his memorial. It just really kind of inspired me. You know, maybe I stand at a platform, but what am I doing in the real world? Am I really sharing Jesus? Am I really, you know, do you realize that we could double our church tomorrow? We could double our church tomorrow just by bringing one person. And then if they brought a person, we could quadruple our church in a couple of weeks. You know how nice it would be to open every curtain and have this place full? You say, well, you know, you, I mean, this place holds a lot, and you know, churches are, you know, aren't that, why aren't they that crowded? Well, why aren't they? You know why they're not that crowded? Because people who come to church aren't that excited. Because if you're that excited, wouldn't you want to share what you have with somebody else? And I got to stop now. It's 8:02. Let's all stand up. Heavenly Father, we just thank you. We praise you. Father God, first of all, we just thank you for all the things that happened in the Dominican Republic. And we pray for those people, Father. Father God, we thank you that those ones that, you know, thank you for everything you've done. But I know there are a lot of people that are hurting. We thank you, Father, that you'll be there to be a help to them. But help us understand that we do have a loss in dying and hurting people in the city that we might live in. And Father God, help us understand that we can share Jesus to our world, to go into all the world and preach the gospel, whatever our world might be. And we thank you today that we inspired folks to be a witness and to be able to talk about Jesus more and to give what they have. Father God, we just pray and we thank you for each and every person that's here tonight. We pray for them. We thank you for their life. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. You know, like I said, you know, we're coming up on our 40 years of church. You know what? Wouldn't it be awesome that our 40th year is our best year? And wouldn't it be awesome if it's our biggest year? We have our biggest crowds ever. And, you know, I mean, a lot of times churches, you know, the older they get, the more they die out, and the more people don't seem to really care or whatever. Now, you know, it's just awesome to see the young people excited about God too. That's what's pretty awesome. That's what saved the church, because too many times you got a bunch of old people that they're not excited about God, but you have no young people at all. But you know, we have a generation that seems to be more on fire for God than any other generation ever before. And so it's pretty awesome to see what God's doing. Amen. Well, God bless you guys. Well, first of all, if you're a first-time visitor, we're glad to have you. Connection team is in the aisle. I want to take you out and give you a gift. If you need prayer for anything whatsoever, the men are over here. The ladies over there. If you're a guy, go see the guys. If you're a lady, go see the ladies. God bless you guys. Take care. We'll see you back here on Sunday morning to celebrate 40 years of Rhema Bible Church.